Now we shall do the Advent wreath. I missed you all last week. For the peace candle. I didn't want to leave this out because, you know, without peace, there's no hope. There's no love. There's no joy. There's nothing. The Prince of Peace. Today, last Sunday really, was the third Sunday in Advent. The candle is peace, where we look inward to the Prince of Peace. At this time of Advent and throughout the year, God's peace is our true release. How many believe that? Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. The candle is love, which warms our hearts and sparks a flame of light, which will lead us forward. Love is from above and keeps us going. Please stand for O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Oh, yeah. All of the teachers that teach the children, from Carolyn to Tina to Diane, myself, we all have had this passion for a long time, and that's to get the children to memorize the scripture. It's so important. I didn't do it as a kid. I wish I had. It's harder now. Anyway, this year we finally got our ducks lined up, and the kids are learning the scripture. They're tucking it away in their hearts. And when the hard times come, they aren't going to need the clipboard. They aren't going to need the Bible. They've got it. It's going to be right in there. They've learned it in a various array of ways, and you will see that when they come in to do their memory work, which would be right now if Brian was looking in the door. they're lined up out there, and they're ready to come in and do their memory work, and then they'll go back out, regroup, and pick up the youngest member and come back in, and then you'll get the Christmas program. Enough of me.
And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Colossians 3:17.
The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, against such things there is no regulation, 5:22-23.
I'm not ready yet.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17.
Can you help me, Miss Jan? John 3:16. For God, for love the world, that he gave one only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have life. John 3:16.
The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians 5:22-23.
Second Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16.
A decree had come from Caesar Augustus. Everyone was to return to his hometown to be counted in a census.
Bad news.
Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth in Galilee. They would have to travel to Bethlehem in Judea, the hometown of Joseph's family. Joseph was a descendant of the family of King David, and Bethlehem was the royal city. Best of times, the journey would be long and hard, but Mary was going to have a baby. The journey would be especially difficult. Bad timing, but they had no choice. They had to go to Bethlehem.
Bad news.
Finally, Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem. They were tired. They tried to find a place to sleep. Bad news. The inn was full of people. There was no room. The innkeeper told Mary and Joseph that there was a space in the stable behind the inn. Good news! A manger! A stable full of animals! What a place to have a baby! That is just what happened. There in the stable, Mary gave birth to her baby boy, Jesus. Good news. The Son of God had come. Good news. It was very good news. Good news for you and me.
Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain. Over the plains and the mountains in repose.
won't say what was said this morning. I'm not ready yet. Just in case you don't. Sign Language of Bethlehem, Part 3. I'm going to ask you to put the scripture up, and I would like you to stand for the reading of the Word of God. Let's all read this together. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth, Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. There, time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. You may be seated. Sign language. Sign language was created to help those who are hearing impaired to have a visual. So what they cannot hear, they can see. And they can know the language, and they can see the fingers as they spell out things, and they can understand concepts. Did you know God did the same thing? We couldn't hear him. We could not hear him. Man couldn't hear him. So he made sign language. He gave us fingers on the cross. He gave us a hand that reached to us in the hole. He did all of that. And then he did something else that was fabulous. He gave us the word. This is the greatest sign language of all. That we would be able to hear him. The Bible says in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You cannot hear it and understand it unless you can read it and hear. And when you read it, God opens up our hearing and we begin to hear and understand the deeper things of God. Did you know your hearing and your balance are connected? If we don't hear the word of God properly, if we misappropriate it or misapply it, it can have terrible repercussions in life. Cause us to be way off balanced. That's why some people were going to protest a funeral last week, because they are hearing it wrong. Sign language. God gives signs in the sky above, and he gives signs on the earth, and he gives them through his wonderful word. So the sign today is a town. And it's called Bethlehem. You know, in every story, every reporter will tell you the who, what, where, when, and why, and the how. If you don't have the where, you don't know where it's happening. You need to know the where. And God made specific provision so people would know where to look. It isn't that God doesn't tell us where to look. We either usually have our own mind first, or secondly, we don't go to look what he said in the first place. He made it very clear in Micah, the fifth chapter, and the second verse. It's a small small minor prophet in the Old Testament, big message. It's a time of period of life where there's captivity in Israel and they have walked away from God, but he still gives a window of hope because God owns the house. So he opens the window and gives us a ray for future. But he says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. This is the prophetic invitation for us to join him in Bethlehem. It is a prophetic invitation. The name Micah, by the way, means who is like Yahweh. Who is like Yahweh? Go to Bethlehem and find out. You won't find somebody who's like him. You'll find him. We have enough impersonators. We have enough imposters. What we need is the real thing, right? You find him in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is about 5 miles south of Jerusalem, so it's along that corridor. And Ephratah, just so you know, the word means fertile, which I think is an interesting word at a time of birth and God's hope for the future. This town of Bethlehem is on a hill, and it's in the area where the shepherds would go toward the end of the season, and they would go try to feed the flocks any way that they could. We talked about that before. But it said here, out of this town is going to come the ruler who is going to be the ruler over all. And we know that's Jesus. Did you know that many of God's answers come in obscure places? Small packages? Where you wouldn't expect? I just love God. He has so many surprises. The only one that's not surprised is him. Everybody else is. It's a prophetic invitation. And let me tell you something about prophecy. It has to be 100% accurate or it is not God. That's why it's imperative all of the prophetic words of the Old Testament as they lead up to the birth of Christ, they each individual have to be accurate. How many people tell you, well, it's close. That's not good enough. I'm telling you, if a preacher or anyone else comes to you and says something and says, well, it's kind of like the Bible, throw it out. It isn't the Bible. It will be 100% accurate or it's not true. It's also historically for the future, because two important events and people came out of Bethlehem, this place. First, it's the place where Rachel died, which sounds, it's very sad. She died right after she gave birth to her son Benjamin. And I was thinking about this last night. You know, Jacob, her husband, as they were traveling, the Bible talked about in Genesis that Rebekah's nurse, which was his mother's nurse, which would have been with him his whole life, died on this travel journey as well. And then his most beloved wife dies on top of it. The connection to his mother and then his wife, poof, they're gone. This is the same portion. I'm just giving you this extra because it's Christmas and it's time of gifts. But what happened was the Lord told Jacob, he said, no longer will you be Jacob, you'll be Israel, because you prevailed with God. Did you know that you are not known by what happens to you? You are to be known by what God is doing in you. You can go through some of the more difficult things in life, and a lot of people in this room have, because I know about a lot of them. That doesn't define you. The Lord Jesus Christ should define us. He's the best definition I know. And so this is the place where she dies. But before she dies, she names the son, and she calls him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. And her husband said, we're going to name him Benjamin, son of my right hand. This is actually a great dual prophecy of Jesus coming out of Bethlehem, because he is the man of sorrows, acquainted with much grief, but he is also at the right hand. It is the authority. It is the ruling and the reigning that comes forth out of this place, Bethlehem. The other thing that's interesting is that Benjamin, though he's in this story that leads toward the Advent season, he's not the one. It comes through Judah. But guess who came from Benjamin? Saul of Tarsus. The Apostle Paul. God brings his word his way through the people that he's chosen. So the Messiah is going to come, but he's born to die. That's why he was born, to die for us. The New Testament also talks about this place as being the place of Rachel's sorrow, not only because of her son, but there's another prophetic utterance here in the sense of the slaughter of the innocents. Remember Herod? He's going to have all the children destroyed, anyone two and under, because he doesn't really know how old he is. And there's going to be wailing and weeping, which you always have at the death of a child. But God knows how to take that sorrow and make it into joy. So this is the place where Rachel died. It's also the place where King David was born. And when he was born, he's 10th generation from Judah on the way down to the Son of God. And it's interesting to me, through his line, through Solomon, Joseph comes, and through his son Nathan comes Mary. And they both have to be under the same order in order for it to complete the line of Jesus. And they come forth. Here's some food for thought for you. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. House of bread. Ever since Adam and Eve disobeyed and ate the fruit, whatever it was, mankind has been starving to death. And the Lord, in his mercy and wisdom, shows them Bethlehem, the house of bread, the staple of any diet, of most diets, of most cultures on this earth, so that they can live forever with the bread of life. Aren't you glad? Amen. And then he takes them into Bethlehem, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, into seeing a manger, and the manger is a feeding trough where we feed on the Son of God. Because he was not too high-minded, he wouldn't allow the birth in a feeding trough. Aren't you glad the Lord is not snooty? I'm glad, because he's got to come and reach us. And we're not exactly always up in the high spots either, are we? So he takes us to Bethlehem, the house of bread. I was reading a story this week. How many know who Stephen Curtis Chapman is? Great singer, wonderful Christian artist. Loves the Lord, terrific testimony. I love it. He has children that are natural, and they've adopted children. They call their adopted children their supernatural children, which I love. And they had a little daughter, and her name was Maria. We know something about that here. And some time back, you're familiar with the story, one of the sons accidentally hit her with the car and killed her. The horror of losing one child, and the other one is the one that's responsible to whatever level, not legally, of course, but you'd still feel horrible. And she was telling a story that the day of the funeral, she came along some of the artwork of this little girl who had done a lot of artwork and was very proficient, apparently. And she was drawing a flower that had 6 petals. And each petal was for one of the children. And she was including herself. And so when Mary Beth got to that art piece, there was only one that was filled in. And it was filled in with blue. And you know, blue is the color of heaven. Maria had only filled in her petal. She didn't get to the others. And the message that the Lord spoke to them after they saw another piece of her art that said C-S-E-E, in other words, take notice of this. This is what she gleaned from this. That Maria now is the only petally, only child that's in the fullness of God, has the completeness. There's nothing lacking anymore. It's all together in the presence of heaven. And I'm sure that was great comfort to her. Probably still is. She has it on the wall. I know I would. Do you know something about Jesus when he was born in Bethlehem? He was full to begin with. The Bible says the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in our Lord. He had no lack. He was already perfect. He came here because we weren't, and because we couldn't hear him. And he wanted to make sure we got the message. And if you want to make sure someone gets the message, you know what you do? You go ask them. That's what I do. Ever since I sent a card to somebody for a sympathy and got it back in the mail 3 years later, it got stuck at the bottom of some bag, I always ask. I want to make sure what I intended was received, which is why I bother you incessantly if I sent something. The Lord wanted to make sure we got it, so he came himself. And he alone is the bread we need. It is my prayer today that you will meet God in Bethlehem. And that life will change your life forever. Please bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today, Lord, for all that you have done and all that we'll never know what you've done until we're with you. But we know one thing. We could not hear you. We could not understand your word. So you gave us signs and wonders. You gave us your word. And then you came yourself to make sure we understood who God was. Lord, I thank you so much that you went so far out of your way for people that frankly will never go out of their way. But you did it. And you still want us to respond to that great love. I thank you, Lord, that you are the fullness that we seek, and that any empty places in our lives can be filled with the glory of God. And I also pray, Lord, if there be any today who are like Jacob, he lost his mother's nurse, he lost his beloved wife, he had every reason to walk away. But God, you said you're a prince because, Lord, you had plans for him. I pray no circumstance of life would keep any of us from the greatest gift of all, because you alone make every circumstance, and you give it a reason, and you give it a purpose, even if we don't understand it yet. Lord, I thank you so much for each one in your house today, and I pray, Lord, that they would feed off of you and find that God is exactly who he said he was. Minister, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
ask you to stand for the last hymn, Little Town of Bethlehem. Pray to close the service. I'm going to ask somebody who today has been blessed for 40 years to be married to that woman. Pastor Dennis, come and close in prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we rejoice in the gift of your Son, God, becoming flesh incarnate, Lord. And, oh, Lord, it is so wonderful. You are so good to us. And, Lord, may we go abiding in Christ and being salt and light for you, shining for you, Jesus, and sharing the joy with all those we know. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.